Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Fed Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
This is Not Gun. A man died in Kansas Saturday. Officials believe he was struck by the rifle that discharged when his dog in the backseat stepped on it. Uh-oh. Joseph Austin Smith of Wichita was shot around 9:40 a.m. in a truck in the East 80th Avenue area, a country road about 45 miles south of Wichita. The dog apparently stepped on the rifle in the back of the truck, causing it to fire and hit the back of Smith, who was found in the front passenger seat. Emergency medical personnel, they administered CPR before Smith was pronounced dead at the scene. Another person who was in the driver's seat was physically unharmed. Not immediately clear who owned the truck and the dog or who called 911. The investigation does continue. But yes, it appears that the man was shot by his own dog.
Damn.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through 206-803-ROCK?
We got a few texts here. First, I'll start with this one. We read a text from Penelope Rose.
Correct.
As an OnlyFans site and said, look, as far as stepping on things, man, I've stepped in what? Jell-O, rubbed my toe on a balloon, peanut butter, etc. And we said, how does that work? How do you have this on hand? Well, she got back to us. She says, they describe the offer, and then I tell them how much it'll be, and then they pay, and then I make the video. But they pay for all the supplies. They pay for my time picking up the supplies and for the time making the video.
Damn.
And then for anything else.
All right,
that works out pretty easy. Somebody else says, I like how Penelope Rose just gave a subtle plug for OnlyFans, but she sucked me in. Yeah, I bet she did.
Mm-hmm.
I bet she did. As far as stepping on things, it says, I stepped on a hornet's nest or yellow jackets in the mountains. They chased me for a quarter of a mile.
Oh, God.
My buddy tried to hurdle a picnic table, ended up in the campfire. We didn't take him for help until the next day. That sounds about right.
That's camping.
And then what did they, this one's for you, Miles. They say basically, when you poop in a porta potty and water splash you, they call that the kiss of Poseidon. They say lay down a few layers on top next time.
Kiss of Poseidon.
The kiss of Poseidon, that's right.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, what's up, gentlemen? I got a story about when I was roughly 12, 13 years old. One of my buddies had just moved, and I was running around in his house, and the carpet, it was like a tan, light brown color, I would say.
Yeah, but like the standard beige carpeting.
Yeah, nothing crazy, but running, and all of a sudden, I feel a pinch in the bottom of my foot. I flip my foot over, and I have a toothpick that snapped off in my foot.
Oh.
And it went in pretty much at the ball of my foot and, like, had gone in towards, like, the arch area to where I couldn't even move my toes.
Jesus, dude.
Yep. So then I had to go to the ER, have that thing pulled out, and they gave me the option if I wanted to get it numbed or not. And I went with no at first. I just said, get it the hell out. That was a bad decision.
Well,
so,
look, man, if a doctor asks you, do you want to be numbed, they're telling you that this is going to hurt like a bitch.
Right, especially on the bottom of your foot.
Yeah, I don't.
Even because I've had things removed from the bottom of my foot before.
Uh-huh.
Even the locals going in, the local anesthesia, where they
hurts,
put a needle,
yeah.
it just hurts. I mean, your foot is very sensitive. That's why it's one of the areas you're probably the most ticklish on your body.
Sure.
Is the bottom of your feet. There's a reason for that.
Did they give you, like, antibiotics and stuff? Because I'm assuming it was a used toothpick.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So they ended up numbing it right into the bottom of the foot. And, you know, yeah, it was one of the most excruciating things ever because it was directly into the bottom. After that, they had me do like a iodine wash or whatever and like a metal bowl, gave me some like steroid thing, and off I went. And that was pretty much it.
Well, that's not the worst in the world. How long did it take you before you could walk again normally?
I would say, like, after it was out there, I could move my foot just fine, but, like, it was, say, maybe 2-4 days. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. I was a kid, and I was always getting into something, so it really wasn't much for me.
Okay.
You know, it's stupid. I still got it's a little rinky-dink, like, needle prick right here in the palm of my hand, all right? And I told this to myself, so the Ravens are playing the Bengals in the playoff game. I didn't think the Ravens had a chance, but toward the end of the game, they're gearing up to try to do something, and I'd had a toothpick in my mouth, and I didn't realize that I had it in my hand, and as I'm getting tense watching the end of the game, my hands have been balled in the fist, right? Because I'm like, come on, guys, come on, that kind of thing. I think either they throw a pick or whatever the hell happens at the end of the game, but they don't win the game, and I'm like, well.
They reach over the goal line, the ball gets knocked out, and then they go 99 yards. Oh, okay.
Right, it was after that. I mean, this is like the end of the game, but they had a chance to move down the field. It doesn't work out, whatever. I opened my hand and realized that I basically punctured my own hand with a tooth. Like, it was sticking straight out of my hand. My wife's like, the hell are you doing? I'm like, I didn't do it on purpose. I did not notice that it was digging into my palm. And now that the game's over, my effing hand hurts.
Have you ever heard of a plantar wart?
Yeah, of course.
I had one on the bottom of my foot on my heel. Eighth, ninth grade, somewhere in there. Doctor speculated it was from taking gym showers.
Oh, really?
So fungus, like stuff like that in the high school, junior high, whatever the deal was. And it was right on the, there's a seed that is in the wart, if this makes any sense. So he basically had to get in there and dig down into my heel and dig that thing out because it would continue to grow if he didn't get the root and the seed out.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically, I had a hole in the bottom of my foot until that thing healed. It was literally, I could pick my foot up, turn it around so the bottom is facing up, and I could put water in there. It would hold things. Like, it was a hole in the bottom of my foot.
Yeah, because that's where the wart had been.
That eventually healed. But, I mean, God, that was the most pain. That was so painful.
Is a wart? Is it a fungus-related thing?
I'm assuming it is. I'm actually reading about it right now because it's been so long.
I've had warts on my fingers and stuff.
Right, like, we all know what they look like.
Plantar wart, he's right. That one's much different because it's, like, really in there.
It's in there. Yeah, where it seems like a wart is more of a surface thing. This was roots embedded down below. It was kind of like an iceberg. There was more below than it was on the surface.
So it's a living thing, I guess?
Well, I mean, look at this thing. I mean,
that is nasty, dude.
I don't know what. I mean, it's not. Yes, it's got to be. I mean, you're alive, so.
You're alive.
Right. What have you stepped in on, over, or through 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I grew up in Hawaii, and one day a bunch of buddies and I were walking on the beach. We decided to eat some magic mushrooms. So anyway, as we're walking down the beach, I kicked this thorn. It's called a kiawe thorn. Now, this thorn can go anywhere from like an inch to like 3 inches. So when I kicked this thorn, it went basically my toes, if that makes sense.
It did what?
It split your toes?
It basically went like in between my toes into my foot.
So like into the webbing and straight through?
Correct. So I bend over and I go to pull it out while thinking I pull everything out. Now, come to find out, 2 years later, I was walking and I felt something poking through my foot. So I go down to touch it and I poke it. And it's that thorn that I kicked. So I start to pull it out, and as I pull it out, that thorn came out about a good inch and a half, at least.
Jesus.
And it had been in there, and it was never infected or anything like that. So it was basically just working its way back out to the surface. What was inside?
Yeah, it just kind of worked its way up through the bottom of my foot.
Damn. Okay.
God damn. Well, remind me not to kick gourds.
Do you guys have anything in your body? That you know is in there? I know for a fact I've got Ticonderoga pencil lead in my back from being stabbed with a pencil. I have a BB lodged in my back of my thigh.
All right.
And that's the two things I know that are inside of me.
I don't think I have anything. I had glass in my arm for a while, and they said it'll work its way out, and it did, and it's just weird. Like, one day there's like glass poking out of your arm.
You just gotta pull it out.
Yeah, you gotta pull it out. But
tweezers, whatever.
I'm assuming it's all out now.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything inside of me.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not the doctors did not put there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I got some screws. I got like
that counts.
A mesh of but that was a surgical thing. Like, I knew they were going to put them in there. In Miles' case, they're like, look, we just can't get it out. The doctors, I'm like, cool, but mm-hmm. screws are. So I think I got screws in my wrist. I have a few in my ankle and some weird mesh, like, tube thing in my arm when I severed the artery.
Okay.
Which still freaks me out to this day. But all of those were put mm-hmm. there with good intent, unlike your pencil lid.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Rochelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's happening, guys?
How are you, Rochelle?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
We've been doing lovely. Thank you.
All right. So this was a while ago. I was in Ecuador, and I went to this little village, this really cool place outside of Quito called Otavalo. And so I'm wandering around, and literally this is a place where, like, all the guys have black, jet black hair down to their butts, and they all wear white clothes, and it's like Ecuadorian angels. Pretty cool spot. But so I'm wandering around the let's call it the farmer's market. And I have on, it's hot, humid, I have on shorts, flip-flops, the whole thing. I stepped on a pig flea.
What exactly is a pig flea?
So they're microscopic. Like, so you can't see them. All you know, I thought I had a, hold on. If you don't get it out, they lay eggs inside of your body.
Ooh, baby. Mm.
Yeah, so it's gnarly. So I thought I stepped on a piece of glass because I kept looking down. I'm like, why in the hell does this hurt so bad? And what is it? But I couldn't see anything. And so I continue to get a little more and more concerned because I'd heard about these, right? So I go into this little mercado, and the lady, oh my God, she was so sweet. She's like, no, veniki, veniki. So she brings me into the back of her store, and she gives me a beer, and she's like, you need to drink this, and I need to get this out immediately. You have a pig flea.
Well, you don't have any problems drinking beer.
No. I can't remember the name in Spanish of the pig flea, but anyways, so I sit down, I drink the beer, and she gets out a razor, and right then and there, and just, like, cuts this thing out. Like, I just pointed, like, where it was in my big toe, and she just went to work, and it was just horrible. It was so painful.
So let me get this straight, Rochelle. You're in Ecuador. You do something to your toe, and some woman in a store, you let her do emergency surgery in the back of the room by giving you a beer, and then she cuts it out with an X-Acto knife. Is this what I'm understanding? This is a good idea?
You got it. I'm like, okay, I just had to trust, and I just went with it. But it felt better. Like, 2 days later, I was staying in this, like, dirt cheap hostel, and got found some, like, dirt weed, sat there, and didn't leave for, like, I was just limping around after that. So, anyways, it was crazy.
How long did it take her to cut this flea out of your toe?
I want to say it was, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Jesus, like, man.
Yeah. Well, she was trying to be really careful, you know what I mean? To not, like, go too deep, thank God, but yet be thorough. Because, seriously, like, if you don't get it out, like, they're in your bloodstream and you're screwed.
Were you worried about an infection or anything?
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely.
Okay.
I was worried about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, damn, that's a hell of a thing. I hope to never experience
You probably had our insurance
flea.
Then, and you couldn't, you're afraid of using
God
it.
Damn.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kendall. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, man.
So when I was in 7th or 8th grade, we went on a family camping trip, and I was able to bring a few friends with me. One of them being one of my bigger buddies. And we were all hanging outside my parents' trailer, and we were stepping on the septic tank lid out there. And he decided to step on one, and he completely went through it and down into the septic tank.
Damn.
I mean, did he disappear from view? How deep was it?
He hung on to the edge, but he was probably about, like, nipples deep. He was in it.
I guess it's a common thing, man. I don't know. There was a story last week about an Amazon delivery driver who, like, stepped on an area that was soft because it was a septic failure problem, whatever. Right. And the next thing he knows, he's, like, 8 feet down into a septic hole outside of the home and calling 911 for someone to come get him out because he couldn't crawl out of the damn
right.
thing.
So what do you do with your buddy at that point? Obviously, you pull his ass out of there, but, I mean, do you just hose him off and enjoy the trip or what?
So what happened was the camp host, like the person who was running the camp,
yeah,
he ended up getting in trouble and whatnot. So he went and took a shower. And by the way, he was fully clothed when this happened. And he had poop underneath the screen on his phone.
Oh.
And he completely threw his phone away. He had a little bit of money in his pocket, and he just rinsed it off with a little bit of soap. But my parents ended up giving him, like, a bunch of the iodine sticks thing.
Yeah.
And told him to rub himself down with that and whatnot. And then after that, he was all showered and whatnot. And the camp host made him go around and pick up dog poop for breaking the lid to the septic tank.
Oh, damn, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, me and my other buddies, we all stood around and laughed at him while he was picking up poop and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't really help him either. Like, no offense, buddy. I'm glad you're okay.
I'm worried about all these other people giving me rules. Like, dinner's at 6. You can't have a beer. Clean up the dog poop. Like, no! No! Like,
damn,
no!
Man. Nipples deep in a septic tank.
That is disgusting.
That is. But that's why you don't jump on those things, right?
What have you stepped in on, over or through 206-803-ROCK?
I wouldn't even jump on a sewer gate.
No, I don't even mess with those things. Yeah. I really don't. Like, this will just be the time that that thing slips a little bit and I'm in there, right?
I don't even like to walk over them.
You know, a lot of times I don't.
Yeah. Like, well, number one, they're slick.
They are slick. What is under, so like, when you're walking down the sidewalks here, right? I don't know if it goes to the sewer, I don't know if it's electrical, but like the big, kind of like metal doors that are somewhat embedded in the sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if
you walk down to 7-Eleven.
That's electrical something underneath.
I'm guessing. But for whatever reason, I tend to avoid those two. I'm like, I don't even know what's that. At least with the sewage thing, I know it's sewage. That, I'm like, I don't know what's that. It can be alligators for all I know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I walk around all that stuff if I can.
Always.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through 206-803-ROCK?
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
My question, what have you stepped in on, over, or through 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Kirsten. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What up?
Hola!
Yo, I just have to say, I had a feeling you guys were going to put me on after Enter Sandman, because when I was in high school, my brother was on the wrestling team, and that's what they ran out to every match.
We blinded up perfect. We knew it.
Man, oh man, the world is so weird.
I love it. There's no coincidences.
That's right.
There, you know what? Absolutely none. You're right. There's no chance we had to take a break. That was the next song coming up.
Sometimes, even like during a intermission in sports, they play it. Your brother obviously was involved in a sport, athletics, and man, oh man, it's all coming together now.
My brother ended up being a bad mamma jamma Marine, and
he wouldn't even have to be a Marine. If you're a wrestler, don't mess with you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the Marine just takes it to a different level.
The Marines have a division called the I'm part of the Mamma Jammas.
He's now a Virginia State Trooper. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always a fun place to do that.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. So I'm really glad you guys played that, because my story kind of has to do with him before he joined the Marines, actually.
All right.
So this is like early 2000s, I hadn't quite graduated from college yet. My mom and my stepdad paid for one last family vacation before my brother went to boot camp. And we went to the Cayman Islands. It was dope. And on the way home, our flight was delayed leaving Grand Cayman. And we had a layover in Miami, and me being the micromanager control freak at the time, I was trying to hurry everybody along, and I was walking forward, but looking back at all of them, because I didn't want to miss our layover back to, like, Philly or Newark or wherever we were going, flying back into, because I'm from the East Coast originally, and there were these, like, half circle pillars that were massive. I'm 5'3", okay? And these things are, they're huge. I was looking at my family. I turn around and smack right into one of these half circle pillars and just fall down dying laughing. Like, it was like out of a movie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It was great.
At least you laughed.
Yeah.
At least you laughed.
Did you hurt yourself?
No.
That's good, because you still have another mile and a half to walk to the Miami airport before you can reach the next gate.
Yeah. We missed our flight.
Yeah, of course you did. No, that's very common in Miami.
Massive.
It is so
that
big.
That airport, I hate that airport.
And there's no real easy shuttle, tram, train,
nope.
Bus, monorail. It's you're walking down hallways, and I swear to God, it's a quarter mile.
And that is one of the biggest airports.
There's nothing on the side. You're just going down through a tunnel, basically, to get from one end to the other. It's just insane.
Well, nobody saw us do it, but Miles and I, we both walked into the glass doors to enter basically where the studios are on 14th floor, because you have these security badges. You put it in front of this little black thing, it goes beep, and then the doors then are open, but you can now pull them open. Well, Miles puts his card up there. We hear a beep, but it's not the beep of, hey, the door's unlocked. It was just a beep, so both of us just...
I've watched people walk through the attempt to walk through glass panes in the lobby. We have floor to ceiling glass in the
right.
front. So the glass it also is part of the door system. But the door is pretty well defined.
Because they have handles.
But we have watched people on their phone walk into the glass panel. I mean, even if you had a door, you would put your hand out. I mean,
right.
You would open
think,
the door.
You would think.
But they just think it's open. I saw somebody once at a bar, like 11 o'clock at night on a weekday. He was an older dude. I guess he was drinking more than I thought.
Right.
But same thing. Like, it's a big door, but it's got wood on the bottom. He just missed it and just walked right through it.
Walked through the glass.
Yeah, like the whole thing shattered.
Oh my God.
And it was
holy
like, and then
crap,
that's what we kind of realized, like, because I guess he had just shown up, had a drink, and then walked through the door. It's like, right, because I knew the bartenders, and I was like, dude, and they're like, I don't know. And then, like, then he's standing there, and, like, his head's cut up, and he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, how much you serve him? He's like, I gave him one. He just showed up. I was like, oh, this is bad.
I've never seen anyone break a glass door. I mean,
dude,
I've seen
it
people
was
walk
wild.
Into it. Yeah.
And I still to this day, I didn't see him do it.
Right.
I just looked over, and he's, like, walking through it, and all the glass is shattering. I'm like, I think he did it with his forehead. Man.
What have you stepped in on, over, or through? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, man, this happened back in 2011. I was in Hawaii working, and, you know, working contracts, when you're staying in a certain hotel for several months, you get to know all the staff there. So, used to go down to the bar restaurant on a regular, knew the guy that was bartending, Sal, this particular night. And the funny thing was, I was supposed to go home that day and found out that we had been extended, got another contract award, and I was extended for an additional 2 weeks.
Is that a good thing if you're in Hawaii?
No, Hawaii sucks. Oh. It, from a visiting, working standpoint. I hate the traffic, the crowds, you know.
Right, you're not there relaxing.
It's hot.
Right. It's not like I was on vacation. It was for work. So this one particular night, I'm down in the hotel bar, and the bartender, Sal, great dude. He was Italian. I told him I was born in Italy. You know, my dad was in the Navy back in the day. So anytime he was working, I got hooked up at the bar. And so this particular night, there was another guy that had come in. He was obviously visibly drunk. And every time Sal would lean over to either wash a dish or grab a drink or grab a glass, this guy would just lean over the bar to F with him, and he would, like, slap the top of his head or slap his cheek, whatever.
Jesus.
After, oh, yeah.
Dude, and this is horrible. This is a stranger to Sal, right?
Yes, yeah. So we're sitting there, and Sal had told him, like, 3-4 times, look, buddy, stop. This is going to get ugly if you don't, you know, just, I'm going to have you kicked out, blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't stop. So Sal reaches back and slaps the soul out this man from across the bar. This obviously infuriated the already drunk guy. So he just starts throwing all the S off the top of the bar. He threw his beer bottle. He's throwing glasses. He's throwing everything. He runs around the side of the bar, flips up the bar top. And it was at this point, in my stupor, I decided it would be a good idea to jump over the bar to get between them. Now, in Hawaii, even in December, it's 87 degrees. So the uniform of the day is basically shorts and flip-flops, you know. I didn't realize when I jumped over the bar that I had some of that broken glass.
Oh.
So I get between these two guys, and the drunk guy hauls back and slaps me. Now, you ever been open-handed slapped? Like, you don't know, like, time stops at your head, right? In my head, it felt like it was 3 minutes. I'm staring at this dude in disbelief, like, what the F did you just do? I'm sure it was only 3 seconds that it took me to react, but it was on. We were scrapping. So I end up getting this guy in a rear naked choke with a full body triangle, but I can't get the body triangle locked in because my foot keeps slipping, and I'm like, why is my foot so slick? What's going on here?
Covered in blood.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So it took two security guards to pry us apart. As soon as they got my arm from around his neck, he jumps up and bolts. He gone. Stuff's all still up in his room. He doesn't care. He's out. Now, I'm being interrogated by security guards, blah, blah, blah. And this is the first time I look down, and it looks like a murder scene on that floor. I mean, just blood everywhere for a good 6-7 feet in all directions.
Did the security guards recognize that you were the source of the blood?
They didn't see it at first until they got us separated. They thought maybe one of us had been stabbed or something. It wasn't clear. And they didn't know whose side to be on when they were separating us because they weren't there at the beginning of the altercation. So they get us separated. I get set down. They tell me the police are on the way, whatever. They call the EMT services, all of this, that. This all happened at about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And so, you know, we finally get it resolved. I wasn't the aggressor. I was trying to, you know, shut this whole thing down, whatever. So then the EMTs show up. They get me put in the ambulance. They hauled me off to the emergency room. The cuts on my feet from where I landed on that glass cut the ball of my foot and right next to my Achilles tendon.
Oh.
The ball of my foot took, I think it was like 23 internal and 17 external stitches.
Oh, my God, dude.
And then the other cut near my Achilles took another 10 stitches to close.
Jesus.
So I told you I was there for work. So I had to still, I get back to the hotel that night. I got crutches, my foot's all bandaged up. And I walk in, and the hotel concierge was like, anything you need, we'll send it up to your room, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I need a bucket of ice, and I need some rest. So I still had to get up to work the next morning. I'm trying as gingerly as I can to put my sock and my boot on, clean the wrapping and all this and that. And I go into work and tell this whole story as well. So, of course, everybody's joking me about getting slapped by this dude at a bar or whatever. So that evening, I get back to the hotel, and I've got the hotel manager, the bar restaurant manager, like their HR person. I mean, I'm greeted in that door by like four different people, and I'm like, great. These people are going to sue me. They're going to file charges. I don't know what the heck I'm looking at. Good grief. All right, whatever. So I walk up and I face the music and I'm like, all right, hit me with it. What's going on? Mr. Gilbert, we reviewed the tape. We just want to tell you, congratulations. Thank you so much. We appreciate what you did. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? I just got into a fight in your lobby, jacked my foot up, and you're thanking me? And I'm like, yeah, anything you need. And I was like, well, I mean, this is a Marriott. I know you guys do like poker games for 10,000 points, whatever. If you just load up my Marriott rewards points, that'd be great. And then, you know, just keep a bucket of ice in my room when I get home every night, and we'll call it square.
Did they hook you up with the reward points?
They made me platinum elite, my
friend. Oh, you bastard! I've been trying to get there for years. My next step is silver elite.
How many points do you need to become platinum elite?
You need, I'm going to guess, around 500,000.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, 500,000 points.
Really?
Right.
Wow. Where are you at right now?
I'm like...
Because I know you try to work it.
I'll check my phone. I mean, I've done pretty well.
God,
but
damn.
Still, I have a couple free nights.
Well, you said you're close to silver, right? Or that's where you're trying to get to?
I'm pretty sure I'm silver.
Okay.
Or no, I'm gold, baby. I don't know. There's like silver, then silver elite, and silver platinum, and silver this, and silver
so
that.
So you're never getting that.
No, there's too many tiers. Right. I'm like 500 nights away or something from the next level of whatever.
500.
But he's way up there ahead of me.
Wow, man.
Platinum is like platinum, man.
I'll tell you what we do, man.
You get anything you want. Carte blanche, man, at a Marriott if you're platinum.
Listen, this is what we do. Based on this guy's story, I can even play the heel in this, all right? I'm going to be an a-hole and start a fight. One of you guys jumps over the bar, right? Mm-hmm. Breaks it up. All that kind of stuff, and just ask for those reward points, and then we can just book hotel rooms for each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Marriott, look out, brother.
Free room.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to punch you?
Yeah. Slap.
What's up?
Slap. All right. That was noted in the story, Ted. Slap.
What have you stepped in, on, over, or through 206-803-RUN?
I don't really need a hotel room. Sign me up, brother. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Christine. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
You?
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Hola. So what did
what
you step in?
So sorry. So I live in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, and a couple years ago, they pulled up a deceased juvenile humpback whale onto the beach.
How big is your average juvenile humpback whale? Like, how many feet long?
Bigger than me. I'm going to guess maybe 20, 30 feet.
Gee,
I'm not good with that.
You're not 20 or 30 feet big.
Huh? That's weird. You have a voice of a 20 or 30 foot tall person.
But you were a giant. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, not at all. So me being me, I decided I should photograph this whale as it rocks. So I took my camera knee deep in the water. Pretty much every week or two, I'd be out there. So I was like walking through intestines that were bloated, taking pictures of barnacles that were floating in the fat, walking through all of the baleen and all of the stomach goo.
Quick side question.
Why? Why did you decide you wanted to do this?
Like, who were you going to show these pictures to?
I show them to everybody.
Okay.
All right. You're strange.
So people who know me go, oh, yeah, that is a Christine move. That is definitely something she would do. So, so one day I went to work after doing some photos, and I smelled like dead rotting fish. And I said to my coworkers, I said, if anyone smells dead rotting fish, it's not me. Well, it maybe is, but so they got a kick out of that. But, yeah, I documented that whale for months. The last photo I have of it is just its skull looking over the water.
So you stepped, like, through the whale as you're photographing it?
Yeah, definitely.
So it was you that smelled like rotting whale.
There's no smell that defines it, and it emits like an oily wax that sticks to everything. So when I put my hand in the water to try to move a piece of body part to take a picture, like my hand smelled like rotting whale for a week, I swear to God.
Wow.
See, that's what happens when you mess with rotting whales. You end up smelling like a rotting whale. That's my thought.
So my husband walked into the house and he goes, "What is that smell?"
Does it smell fishy, or, I mean, is a rotting whale definitively a whale? Do you know what I mean?
It does not smell fishy at all. It is a deeper, darker, murky smell. It is its own unique smell. And that's like still one of my favorite stories. I show pictures of that rotting whale to so many people. The hand, when the flipper dissolved, the fingers look like alien hands.
All right.
Your husband is a patient man.
I wouldn't have done that.
I mean, I might snap a picture of it, right? But I'm not, like, getting up in it.
There's no chance of getting in that water to photograph a rotting dead whale animal.
I mean, if I saw it, yes, I would take a picture, but I would not get that involved with it.
What time have you stepped in, on, over, or through? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jack. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, this takes place way back in the 80s, early 80s, right after Mount St. Helens erupted. At that point in my life, I was in volunteer search and rescue. And my search and rescue unit was based out of Waukegan, Washington, and we were the primary search team for looking for survivors after it erupted. I'm walking the east line of the new route of the Tula River with a partner, and we're walking along talking, looking for stuff, and there's no footprints or anything. And we could see like a cul-de-sac washed out into the riverbank. And you can see it's all sandy. You see deer footprints, hoofprints go in. The embankment's like 25 feet high. No hoofprints coming out. We're like, oh, that's kind of odd. So we continue walking down the beach a little further, and I step in something. I sink to my knee in quicksand.
Oh, you are the second person in 2 weeks that we have talked to that has sunk in quicksand.
We always just thought it was like something we were scared of as a kid, but didn't really exist.
Right.
Exactly. But this is made out of ash. So it's kind of like it's heavy.
Okay.
And it's super sticky like clay.
Was it warm?
But it's, yes. That was the scary part about it, because less than a quarter of a mile away, 6 inches into the ground, it's still 600 degrees.
Jesus.
So I'm in, and I'm wearing military pants. So like cargo pants, you know, pockets on top of pockets. And I can feel the pockets pulling up, and I'm sinking further in. And before I can get my backpack thrown off, and my day pack thrown off, and laid on my back, I'm over to my waist, and all my pockets are filling up. My partner, he grabs me by both hands, and he pulls as hard as he can. He gets me out, and I roll like a log around him, and this is only like 30 seconds has gone by, 45 seconds at the most. I roll around behind him, and he's already past his knees. So I'm doing the same thing to him. And we do that for like 30 feet until we're completely out of it. And we like radioed for a rope, because we searched in a big line. It's a grid search. And the other people that were in our line were up on the embankment. By the time they got a rescue rope to us, we were already out, like, you know, I'm standing in my underwear, dumping all the stuff out of my pocket.
So you go out for search and rescue, and you're the ones that need to be rescued.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever find anybody? Were you able to help anyone?
No, man. Anything that was found in anybody was just pieces, like bones. Yeah. The temperatures were so high that maybe if they were in something underground, they could have survived it, but we found a couple of cars we didn't recognize, or cars, because they were just crumpled up pieces of metal. There was no plastic, no glass, no rubber, no vinyl, no leather.
That's a pick-me-up story right there. Yeah.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less? You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.